most common questions we get asked is about the Kinsey Institute findings that say that gay men, on the average, have half an inch longer penises than straight-identifying guys. So today, we're pulling out our yardstick and checking our junk against straight man Brian Sweeney to see if it's true. Are you ready, Brian?
I don't think that's going to happen. Join us as we chat about why straight guys only see dongs in films and not in real life, so they think their willies are tiny. How a big member can impact your sports teammates, and why morning wood happens.
Plus, a look at gay names Christopher, Bruce, Mark, and Brian.
President Trump says he wants X-ray vision for his wall with Mexico.
Details of an upcoming new podcast with Brian about movies he's gonna hate.
And farewell to the world's greatest scientist, Stephen Hawking. He died at the age of 76.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
Our guest today is the incomparable Brian Sweeney, who used to have Brian's Dong as his Twitter handle, but now that you're a big mainstream comedian, you just... What is your Twitter handle now, Brian?
Brian's Cock.
Is that Brian's Dong? It's Brian's Dong.
No, it's...
What your own Twitter handle is. You're searching
Facebook
for
still Brian Dong.
The Brian Sweeney.
Ooh.
As opposed to the other Brian Sweeney?
Yes.
Why did you initially think it was a good idea to call your Twitter handle Brian's Dong?
Because it was originally Torgo 10.
I remember when we first met you. And Torgo 10 was from a movie?
It's like from Manos, The Hands of Fate, which is it's a bad movie that Mystery Science Theater watched. There was a guy named Torgo. Anyway, so that's like...
Torgo's a good name, though.
Torgo is, but
Torgo
the 10.
Is like a sergeant in the army who's kind of like chunky and yells a lot. Torgo.
Yes. Torgo. Torgo, but there was the 1-0 after it, and that's just tough. That used to be okay back in the days of like AOL and AIM when we were all like Fallout Boy fan 29 or something. But like, not today, baby. Everyone has to have some name. So yeah, Brian's...
Why did you name your Brian's Dong?
That's because of Brian's song. Huh? Brian's Dong, the movie. Brian's Song.
Well, this is a common question.
Do you know that movie at all?
No.
It's about a gay romance.
Oh,
no,
it was?
It's not.
Well, kind of, isn't it? They're gay for each other, aren't they?
I mean, they're not, but...
They're football players, and one of them gets cancer and dies.
And Brian Piccolo.
Yeah, but he was good friends with somebody.
Gail
that
Sayers.
That is obscure as hell.
It's not for America.
No,
okay.
Not for Americans. So it was a very... The movie came out in the 70s, right?
Yeah, it was James Caan and I forget who played.
So if you're just tuning into Feast of Fun, mostly this podcast is talking about news and culture and interesting things with our favorite
70s TV movies.
Cishet white male privilege, Brian Sweeney. And one question we get asked a lot when Brian's on the show is about dicks, sizes, admiration. But there's a debate going on whether straight men versus gay men have bigger penises.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't the Kinseys did a study on this years ago? And so this information's been around for a while, right?
So, Kinsey, the famous Kinsey with a sexual, what is it, you're either one or a six.
The Kinsey scale.
Kinsey scale.
He worked out of Indiana, the state of one of the universities in Indiana, but he did a lot of work in Chicago. So he kind of studied very much the gay male population here in Chicago.
And he obsessively collected data about all kinds of people and sexuality, body parts,
collected it all over his face.
When you say, when you're a scientist, they don't describe it as being obsessive. It's the scientific method.
It was unprecedented.
Yes, it was unprecedented.
And
he was a
pioneer in the way that he studied human sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the years 1938 to 1963, he collected all kinds of data, especially the size of men's penises, both when they were soft and when they were hard. Mm-hmm. And he collected, according to his data, was about 5,122 men, and 935 of those identified as homosexual.
Mark says that's a low number to collect of men.
And so he, I guess according to the Kinsey Institute, from that collection of data, that the average erect length for gay men was 6.46 inches, 6.5 inches, compared to pitiful 6.4 inches, or about, wouldn't say one.
Wait, what? One,
what's the dick?
One
the,
six.
All right, yeah, say, six and a six. So give us the numbers. Gay dicks?
6.46 for gay dicks.
Okay.
And straight dicks, 6.14.
So it's like a 0.3 difference.
Half an inch. Half an inch difference.
That's pitiful. I don't know. I guess it is. Kind of, no, whoa. Are we talking
hard?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's flaccid.
And so the authors of the study said that their findings were evidence in favor of a biological explanation for homosexuality, specifically that perhaps there's a surge in testosterone that occurs at some stage in development that could account for the difference in hard cock size. Mm-hmm. Woo!
Well, they say, like, in the womb, the baby gets, like, a hormonal wash, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of, like, they think that that's the real indicator as to, like, what your, you know, sexual expression is going to be. And maybe, I think, for some people, like, their gender identity. Like, you know, if you, you know, it depends on what comes to the, is it, what's that mixture? Is it estrogen? Is it testosterone? And is it one over the other? And that can have profound effects on how your genes express themselves. And on dick size.
And it's interesting because for us, I don't know of any other gay men in media, like Anderson Cooper doesn't talk about this, about dicks. And but we talk about dicks not just with other gay men, but with straight guys.
Yeah.
And it seems like straight guys think something very unique about their dicks that gay men don't.
Mm-hmm. Which is, Brian?
That they all taste like shit. Get it? Nah, gay dicks taste like shit. That's how you know a guy's gay. Yeah, I was sucking my friend's dick, and I was like, I think you're gay. These are dick tastes like shit, and I hate gay people. So I sucked his dick and just threw him out. My theory is that straight guys all think that they have small dicks because the only dicks that straight guys really see are in porn. Mm. And so they're these big, huge monster dicks. And so every guy like has a weird feeling that his dick isn't big enough. Or even in like art, a lot of art. I don't know. Sometimes you see small dicks in art.
Well, actually, most of the time you do. Yeah. Statues, they kind of intentionally made them small because they thought a large dick would be vulgar.
Yeah. So I think, guys always assume that they have small dicks because they don't see other dudes' dicks except in porn. Mm. But you also have to, the problem with studies, I would assume gay guys probably are more, I don't know.
Stroking it more?
Well, yes. That's what I was going to say. No, I feel like gay guys may be more open about showing showing their dicks to people or like to another dude. So like,
there's some really uptight gay guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you can certainly see, you can chat with them.
A lot of loose gay guys.
Well, but also, too, is, you know, I think things have kind of changed. When I was growing up, it was like, you know, when my dad would take us to the Y, it was like everybody was naked in the showers, and it was like a gang shower, and it was no big deal. You just saw people
gang
naked.
Showers.
But nowadays,
you
it's
were
like,
a Crip. You forgot about that.
That's what they called them, gang showers. Yeah. And then, but nowadays, everybody gets their own little shower stall. There's a curtain that you kind of like rip a little hole through so somebody can look at you. You can stick your dick through it.
Yeah.
You know, guys are changing underneath their towels.
Where is this exactly? Is this at the gym? Is it the YMCA?
All gyms are a little bit cruisy.
It's the Denny's down the street.
in the bathroom of the Denny's at 3 in the morning.
That's what I call the gang shower.
But, you know, when you were in sports and so
we all get a lot of gay guys in high school or whatever,
they played sports. And so, like, afterwards, they'd go and take a shower. So at that point in time, you'd see somebody else's dick.
Because boys around that age are really scared of showing dicks. Like, they don't want other guys looking at their dicks, and they don't want to have, mostly it's because we don't want other people to see our dicks.
But I don't think it used to be that way. I think like things have changed since the rise of like gay identity. People are more concerned about who sees their naked body. Like in the 50s and 60s, you know, You can watch, like, they would photograph boys in high school, like, naked in the shower and put it in Time magazine.
I would, but I got in trouble.
I don't know. Do you guys ever, what is your reaction when you see a big, hard dick?
I usually get on my knees.
Yeah.
I mean, because
I say, don't get it in my eye. Just kidding. I don't care.
Because some people are just like, oh, my God, that dick is so big. Congratulations.
Well, okay. Like
the guy did something to make it big. And I'm like,
some of them do. They inject stuff into it nowadays.
But the average big dick guy is just born with it. It's not Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline, yeah.
You know, and so, like, they're congratulating him for something he didn't do.
Well,
and
yeah, I'm like, but that's
bullshit.
Yeah, if you congratulate somebody for being beautiful or handsome or attractive, they didn't, you know, they were born that way.
Yeah, like Natalie Portman, like, is, yeah, I think she's the most, like, third most symmetrical face on earth, like, of famous people. So, like, when you look at it, you're just like, God damn, that is a symmetrical young lady. But, like, it's not like her. It wasn't, she's like, oh, thanks, I put a lot of work into making sure the symmetry of my face was good. But you still are like, wow, like, that
but
is a symmetrical
person. You're not congratulating
her
the way, you know, and the opposite is true. Like, I've been with guys who had small dicks, and they looked at me, and they're like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, don't apologize. You didn't do anything.
And you're bottoming anyway, so what does it matter? Bend over.
Let's go spelunking.
I don't know. I mean, your thoughts on sort of like guys with really big dicks or small dicks?
But I think what is a big dick? Because obviously, if you see a fucking, like, enormous dick, because it's the same thing with, like, if you see a guy with, like, a big nose, mm-hmm. you'll be like, God damn, that did you see that huge guy's nose?
Yeah.
Whereas if you
but
see
you don't
a,
congratulate him for
oh,
it.
Oh, well,
and
maybe.
And he doesn't apologize if the nose is
I don't congratulate somebody for having a big dick. Like, I might admire it, but I'm like, congratulations, let me shake your dick. Well,
you
I do shake your dick,
on
I guess.
Those huh? Twitter, yeah. like, porn stars, you know, mm-hmm. they're always people are like, wow, you know, like,
wow, you have a big dick.
Like, you made, like, you did something, you accomplished something.
Well, I think,
well,
I think,
you know, it's,
well, it's bullshit. It's not it's complete bullshit.
But yeah. by that I, rationale, you know. It's like, fuck, like Mozart. Fuck you, Mozart. You don't deserve,
well,
like, no one.
Music.
He didn't. He was doing that at, like, six. He was writing opera. He died when he was, like, 12 or something. Like, he died super young and he
Wait,
started writing his own
a
shit.
Musical genius, child prodigy to a guy with
he
a
was
big
born
dick.
Yes, with the musical
if,
talent.
If you're born with it, then by your rationale, who cares? Like, I don't give
because
a shit about you.
There's a very big difference between, for example, being tall and being a really good basketball player. It's kind of like when they talked to Caitlyn Jenner or, you know, before she transitioned about her Olympic achievements. She was always like, I did this all by myself. Mm-hmm. This was done by me and me alone.
Right.
And, we stand on the shoulders of our community, of the past, our families, our schools, the cities we live in. Mozart, what may have been born a really, talented musician.
But his brother wasn't.
In a time
but
period.
But somebody nurtured that.
He lived in a city that valued music. He had a family that valued music. He had instructors that taught him music. There was a lot of other people who were also equally good, but may have been forgotten. You're sort of talking about how Oprah... You were, like, hating on Oprah because...
Before we started recording.
Before we started recording. And this idea that you know, Oprah is successful because Oprah is amazing discredits the contributions of her amazing staff, the syndicate, the guests that she's had on her shows,
Stedman.
The opportunity... Her relationships Gail. with Gail and Stedman, and also the whole Chicago and just her road to where she is today.
Phil Donahue creating something she could take away and
sure.
make her own.
There's a lot of factors. Why we are successful as doing this podcast is not just because we're awesome people, but because we've had an amazing array of guests and an amazing audience, and we were at the right place in the right time. I've had, 20 years in media before we even the day I started podcasting in 2004. And it's like, you know, to discredit all these things that we are a part of just because we have achieved something extraordinary doesn't is an insult in a lot of ways to the world that you live in. Mm-hmm. And it's a philosophy that a lot of conservative people have. Mm-hmm. It's this idea that like you did it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And if someone else gets the same mm-hmm. accomplishment mm-hmm. that you did, it diminishes your own.
But when you look at a big dick and it's like you feel as like it doesn't deserve a compliment, would you say the same thing about somebody if they had lovely eyes? Would you be like, oh my God, your eyes are so beautiful?
I think you can compliment somebody for having a big dick, but don't congratulate them for having a big dick. It's a very big difference.
But you kind of want to reach out and grab it and shake it. And
listen, I'm in awe when I see a beautiful person, for regardless of what they've done. You know, if it's for any reason, mm-hmm. Beautiful woman. I mean, it's like Brittany Campbell. She was
our
star.
Guest yesterday.
She was a real, not like us schlups here. We were basking mm-hmm. in a goddess's presence, mm-hmm. And she was just like this brilliant, funny, charismatic, talented young woman who has an amazing future ahead of her. And I'm just standing there and just going, wow. I mean, in some ways, there's not much you can say when mm-hmm. you're just in presence of somebody that extraordinary. Mm. But Brittany Campbell has had an amazing support network of all kinds of extraordinary people that have
teachers, parents, uncles,
acid Betty.
Mm-hmm. It's also if Brittany Campbell, for instance, if that's who we're talking about. If she didn't look how she looks, mm-hmm. say, and not like saying she's beautiful, she is, but that's not what I'm saying. Just for whatever thing we're talking about here, she wouldn't. It's not just about talent. Like mm-hmm. a person with perfect pipes or whatever mm-hmm. that can really hit notes, that's not enough for like being in Hamilton. You need mm-hmm. to do more than just that. So a person that sings really like amazing singer, great dancer, great performer, but doesn't have something mm-hmm. that some type of charisma
star power
or whatever it is that Britney has. That's what I mean by look, like the whole package, like mm-hmm. everything about it, just like a pop star, say, like just because Christina Aguilera is a technically great singer, that does not mean that she's better than Britney Spears. In the terms of like who is like a better performer or just a all around pop star, that's not what we go by in the
you
whole
go by
thing.
How you feel about them?
Yeah, like talent is always a big part of it, but that's not always the whole thing. Just like with the big dick, a big dick can be like great, but like with pictures and stuff that are like, ooh, way to go with your dick. Like your dick looks great. In the same way of like porn, like you're like, holy shit, and then you're like, we should try that, and it's never as good. You always think like you're like, this is gonna be hot, and it's not. Because
that's why I like porn, is because it isn't real.
Well, yes, but that's all aesthetics. Like
my fantasy, my imagination is more powerful than any reality experience that I can ever have. And watching porn can be extraordinary. Sometimes I actually prefer even not to actually watch it, but to think about it. And that can be even more erotic than actually watching the porn itself, because my imagination, remembering the porn, is actually better sometimes than the porn itself.
And because you mostly get porn on the dark web, and when the FBI finds it, you'll be gone. We won't talk to you for a while. I understand.
What kind of porn resides on the dark web?
You have to talk to Fausto. It's the kind of porn he can't even look at. He has to just remember what it's like.
It's cryptocurrencies. Yes. Zeros and ones.
It's just if you ever saw 8mm, the movie,
there's a study that says that conservative people are, I guess, they're suffering from some sort of brain damage.
What?
Yeah, and religious fundamentalism is tied to each other.
Size?
So imagine, I know this sounds like a joke, but they're basically, the findings suggested that damage to particular areas of the prefrontal cortex promotes religious fundamentalism. That by having an open wound in your head, you get a closed mind.
Well, the frontal lobe is what, that makes sense.
That's your decision-making area.
It's also empathy. It's what sociopaths and serial killers, when there's usually damage in serial killers to the frontal lobe. But again, like just like we were talking about, And this is going farther than just a dick conversation. But what I was going to say about the dicks and the aesthetics.
This is why you guys listen to Feast of Fun.
What I was going to say about the aesthetics is, like, we're talking about the dicks in the picture or in the way, and there's also camera angles and shit like that, just like the way that we take selfies. We take 500 of them so that we can then show the book. Same thing with dicks and the same thing with, like, video shots. There's cinematography, there's lighting.
Get the dick closer to the lens, it looks bigger.
Yes. And so, but I'm not even saying, like, with just that, like, there's angles to making the perfect dick picture or something like that. Just in the same way of, like, a stage show, the lighting is a big part and the way that you dress is a big part. But the what I was going to say about, like, frontal lobes or whatever of conservatives, that also is a thing of growing up. And just like basketball players, you were talking about, in singers or whatever, if you're born in a place where you're, like, nurtured and you're told, like, you're great and you can sort of relax and not have to, like, strive, I feel like that's probably, like, a big reason. If the only thing that you can do is, like, play basketball because you can't afford other stuff, or because, like, you want to get out of where you are, and so, like, singing is your one ticket, or, like, playing a guitar is the only way that you can ever get out of this town, or whatever the hell it is, that's going to make you want to do something stronger, possibly, than a person that's given everything. So,
if you have a medium-sized or small dick, you're going to try harder?
Maybe, but I was going away from dicks and more into, like, not everything is about, like, God-given or whatever, because everything is, just like you were saying, like, being in the place where you grew up, you don't know what you would be if you were born somewhere else, and it's there before the grace of God go I, but...
But there, you know, there's a power to a big dick, and we talked about this. You came on the podcast, and we talked about jockocracy is what the title of the research paper was called. But we titled our podcast called Cockocracy, and actually, the guy who did the research on it He wrote to us and said that it was the best coverage of his report study that he had heard. He's like, you guys actually got it, and the reasoning behind this report is that with, like, high school or college-aged athletes, that when the leader of the team, like the captain or the quarterback, if they have a big dick, the team is inspired by that penis and usually performs better. And
imagine his penis to also be bigger when he's a successful athlete. It's both cause and correlation.
And so the guys that don't do as well on the team, maybe because, like, they feel like they're not as masculine as them because their penis isn't as big, they don't necessarily perform as well because, like, their confidence might be lower.
I am one with the force. The force is one with me.
And the force is a big giant cock.
And he has my football star has a big dick, and the big dick becomes a football star.
And we see, like, this last year with the Super Bowl is the winning team. Some of the teammates had been joking. They were asking about, like, you know, somebody asked something about the locker room, and one guy was just like, "Oh yeah, he's got the biggest dick ever." And so, you know, you could see where that could inspire people to, you know, try their best.
But genius is a title that is bestowed upon people after their accomplishments, never before them.
I don't know. You call yourself a genius all the time.
But seriously speaking, you know, it's not something when somebody goes, like, Foster, you're a genius. Anytime in my life and people be like, the Chicago Tribune called me the gay Oprah. You know, and I was like, honey, I don't got two nickels to rub. And I said, correction, I'm the openly gay Oprah.
Burn. Take that, Oprah. Come on this show if you want to talk against us.
But in my life, you know, I've done some fun, extraordinary, amazing things. And after I've accomplished that by accident or by luck or by sheer determination, somebody somewhere said, "Oh my God, you're a genius. You're amazing." And I said, "You're only saying that after the fact. You weren't around when I was struggling and working hard." And I always tell everybody who has dreams and wants to accomplish things, either in sports or creatively or in business or in life, throw that spaghetti at the wall because something's going to stick. And that spaghetti that sticks, then they say you're a genius. Well, but no one points out the thousand spaghettis that fell to the floor.
Because we base most everything on the pop culture that we take. So we all think that we all have this idea, like, there's something special about me. And one day, like, Obi-Wan is going to come and be like, hey, here's a lightsaber. Turns out you're a Jedi. And we're going to be like, fucking knew
what?
It.
Yeah.
Or like, Hagrid's going to come in and be like, hey, guess why you have that lightning scar? You're the greatest wizard in the world. Let's go stop the worst evil man ever. And we're like, I knew it. I knew that this was going to happen. And I also knew I didn't really have to do anything to do it. I was just going to sit here, and my uncle and aunt was going to be mean to me, and then an owl was going to come get me. But that's not how the world works, unfortunately. And there's also a problem because rock stars or whatever always try to make it seem like, ugh, no one liked me, I was the biggest loser, and I never even learned how to play guitar, still don't know how to read music, and I hate learning about music, and all, and I don't even know how to play guitar, and I'm a genius. And then that's all like a lie, because they actually know, but you have to create the self-mythology, because also...
I caught up one time we were interviewing Mr. Gay America, and he... to our faces on camera said he doesn't exercise or work out or lift weights.
And yeah. We're like, he had this killer body. I'm like, you have to work out somehow. You don't get a body like that. You're not born with a body like that.
Well, people like Jennifer Lawrence has to talk about how much she loves cheeseburgers and shit like that. And it's like, no. Like, and there's like, I eat wherever I want. Or I don't know if Margot Robbie's ever talked about that, but I'm sure she does of how much of a pig she is and how much she loves eating.
Those Instagram studs and models and all that stuff, half the time... Their feed is full of like, oh my god, I was picking out on pizza, it was amazing.
Yeah,
because, look at these abs, you know.
Because
pizza abs.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, because they want, for whatever reason, we also hate people that try, and probably because of the pop culture that we like is always about the chosen one. It's not about the people that are trying their best. It's about Sherlock or Tony Stark, where they're just geniuses and they're like, oh, I want to do something. I'll just create a new fucking particle. And
you're
then I'll
MacGyver
build
your way
something.
Out of a disastrous situation.
Yeah, like I'm the smartest person ever, and I don't even. And the fact that I'm smart means that I'm smart in every single field ever. Like, I know every single thing possible, and I can just ramp up the shit constantly.
And. I have a big dick.
And most of the Iron Man suit is for my dick.
Do you know why you wake up with morning wood?
Why?
Because you're next to me. Boom. That's what that guy said.
Because when you're awake, your brain releases a hormone called noradrenaline or
noraephrine.
And she stops boners in their tracks. These hormones tell your dick, like, don't have a spontaneous erection. But when you fall asleep and then you go into REM sleep. When you're
REM
somebody in your sleep.
Like, have you never heard a person say REM sleep before REM? You've
That's
only read
me
it
in the corner.
Yeah, you're like, I love the band REM, man. It's my favorite REM.
Rapid eye movement sleep stage. Your body releases less of that hormone, so it's like less of that thing telling you, like, hey, don't get a boner. And then also too,
all through my sleep.
Yeah,
it's why we're always tossing and turning.
You're
nervous.
Actually having boners all night long, and then sometimes you'll just wake up during the middle of it. And there it goes. Also, too, your testosterone levels are high in the morning, and that also can help with boners. And maybe you've been humping like your teddy bear. And
I do notice that if I have to pee, my boner's really big. Like, it's nice and hard because the bladder's pushing on the prostate to get it.
Is that
it
what
big.
It's doing?
Yeah. And so, you like, as soon as you're done peeing, and then you have to, you know, pee upwards because your dick's going up, and you're like, so you're doing a... a rainbow stream.
That's why you just pee into the shower. You're
like, oh, fuck. Now I have to clean this shit up. So. There's another study that says exercise makes your heart young. Mm. If you're age 50 and you are doing, like, you know, what they doctors say, three times a week for half an hour, you can de-age your heart from 50 to 30.
Oh, wow.
After how long?
I don't know.
Years.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just,
after,
you know,
50 years of exercise.
I wonder about my heart because, like, you know, I grew up in a house, like, my parents smoked in the house, so I'm just like, I basically grew up in, like, a cancer house.
In
so
between
we'll
gang showers, your dad was like, all right, we're done with the gang shower, let's have a smoke. Hey, look, Brian song's on.
Oh, Brian.
They're just saying, let's see, it was just a... 50 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Really?
52 weeks.
That's almost a year. You have to exercise. half an hour.
How's your yoga and Pilates doing, Brian?
They can be better, but they're pretty good. They're not bad.
Yoga,
I guess.
And what is it we say? Pilates equals pies and lattes.
Mm-hmm. I don't do Pilates. I do yoga, though. Yeah, I'll do some now. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, no, this is just stretching.
Just stretch. Remember.
How's your downward dog?
Downward dog's easy.
Are you limber?
Yeah. I like a king pigeon, folded king pigeon.
I don't know which one.
And I also like reverse pigeon.
I could Google that. Downward dog for me, baby. Woof, woof. Up butt in the air. Like, I don't care. Stretch your calves. That's the best pose you can do.
Stretching.
Jesse. Yeah. Everybody's like, where is he? Is he under the table?
I do like the...
He must be on the couch.
No, he's not.
Jesse, where did you go?
Jesse!
He's on the couch. There he is.
Oh, sorry.
It's like having a child. When you're hanging out with a parent, and there's
sometimes in the podcast,
too quiet.
I see him going to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, he's trying to drink out of the toilet bowl for whatever reason.
That's Jesse? My morning wood piss. Drink it up. Drink it up, you thirsty boy.
You sicko.
So Trump wants to make his, he's trying to build his wall, and he wants to make it see-through.
Yay. See the nipples on the other side.
Or he's literally saying that they need some kind of x-ray machine to see through it.
Well, yes, because he was
saying shit.
But no, well, he said that we need transparent walls because people from Mexico throw drugs over the wall, which I'm assuming, and many people have made this point, but I feel like this is, as a Trump expert.
Because you did help write a book about Trump.
The main thing to realize about Trump is he's an idiot. This is also a problem with going back to, like, people think that rich people are smart when it is almost always the opposite. Rich people are usually dumber than a box of nails, and Trump is that. He's beyond stupid. And so he heard, like, the
they don't see all the angles. Everything's given to them a lot of times, so they don't really see. They're not critical thinkers.
But like, we also think, like, Mark Zuckerberg, we should put him on the problem or something. It's like, he created Facebook. Like, he stole it from Armie Hammer twins, and then he's whatever, like.
The Winklevi.
Yeah, the peach smasher in Call Me By Your Name was the Winklevi.
he was the bottom.
Yeah,
Timothy Chalamet was topping Armie Hammer. That was implied in the movie. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, they're doing a sequel to it.
Wait, what's who's that? Adam Rippon? Is that
Adam Rippon,
the gay guy that Mark is like? Mark said people don't like him because
he wore a tuxedo and a harness to the.
Some
people are really hating how faggoty he is. I love it. Personally, I think it's great. He just did something with HRC and he gave a very, I thought it was a very inspiring speech about, like,
Hillary Rodham Clinton?
No. Human rights campaign.
Did he sing Fight Song? Can't believe she lost, folks. I mean, Will I Am made a video for her. It's unbelievable. How did that not get
You know most disturbing news, I think, is the Russians killing that guy with nerve gas in the UK, and Rex Tillerson, like, saying as he's leaving, being fired, he's like, yeah, the Russians did that. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on. And Trump's just
and
like,
Donald Trump tweeted him that he got fired, and he found out from the tweet. By the way, gayest name is Rex. What's the gayest name? This is a good topic for conversation. We always stumble upon the
Bruce is a big gay.
David is a gay name. I know David.
Mark and Michael are gay names, but there's a lot of Michaels.
Percy,
that are
Mark, Percy. See, but that Percy is a, like, fruity name. But like, that's like a thing of, like, a limp-wristed.
I mean, the gayest name is Sean Cody.
Sean Connery.
And I meet, like, guys who are named after porn
stars. Yeah,
trans Cody. Guys. Or who are named themselves after gay porn
stars.
Well,
what porn stars do, like, let's say I'm a porn star, I'm about to start my career, I look at the most popular baby names that are out now, or in the past couple years, and then I name myself that, so it seems like I'm avant-garde.
Are these gay names, gay porn stars? Because, like, I feel like there would be, like, way more... way more, like, female porn stars named Emily, which is always, like, and there's not. They always go for, like, Jolie or, like, Angela. It's usually, like, the whoever's, like, a hot person right now.
Time,
so it's,
right?
Like, Scarlett or
Chad?
Whatever.
Chads are evil.
Chad's a gay name?
Yeah.
Chad's a gay name.
Chad is, like, shut up, Chad. Chad, you don't want to fuck with Chad.
If you went into your like gay man Rolodex, which I know you all have,
let me look at my my save things on.
What would be like the most the number one name for men?
Todd.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Todd.
Because it sounds like top.
So do you think that that has something to do with being gay, or like you name your son Todd and then it's like, well, I might as well be gay, like a little baby with a huge dick? It's like if your baby comes out with a huge dick, don't name it Todd if you don't want him to be gay. That's what we're learning.
The catalog says one of the top gay names of all time is Brian.
Ho, with an I or a Y?
With an I. And then right next to it is a Brian with a Y.
Holy cow.
And then...
Top gay names?
I gotta yeah.
Where's
the
ting-a-ling-a-ling?
Oh, you want that bell? Where the hell did that thing go?
Where's the ting-a-ling-a-ling bell?
I've been digging in it somewhere here. I forgot where it went. That's not...
Gay names. Oh, my butthole. Oh, stretch it out. Oh, thank you. Up my butt again. Oh. Why, I remember my summer in Costa Rica.
But, you know, they're always, when you have a gay couple, it's always having a white Anglo-Saxon name, like Mark, and an exotic foreign-sounding name like Fausto.
But it's always, because it's always like a Cuban pool boy, isn't that? Like,
I'm not the Cuban pool boy.
But the Cuban pool boy is almost always a twink. That's what I've noticed. Yeah. Like when they're like, "Hi, my name is Brett or whatever, and this is Juan Lopez." Mike, and he's like, "Oh, hello."
Mark with a K and Mark with a C are gay names.
Yes, Mark with a C is this gay spelling.
Steve, Adam and Steve, not Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm.
82 generic gay guy names. Todd is number one. Garrett, Will. This is just a bunch of names.
Yeah,
Ross?
They don't seem very gay in here.
Greg?
And I don't see a Bruce in here anywhere.
Bruce is a 70s name. Yeah. That was a big, like, if your name was Bruce, yeah, Bruce was a big gay name. You know, it's not a gay name.
One website called Ranker came up with did actual poll asking people for the gay, their names, if they were gay, and the top of the list was Christopher.
Oh.
In the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Christopher does sound kind of gay, because otherwise you'd just be Chris, right?
Damn, it's like these. You know, I just gotta say this right now. Websites in 2018, you open up one of these news sites and it's like pop up and do want notifications and ad and fill out this form and like us on Facebook before you can even read the headline.
Do we have any of that on Feast of Fun?
No.
But that's because their websites are like dead.
Garbage.
People don't go to websites anymore. Mm-hmm. People just go to Twitter or whatever or Grindr. Oops, not me.
And then just
not me, Brian, with an I.
You're trying to like read the article, and it takes you to another article before you even finish reading it.
But, yeah, it's terrible.
So the top 10: Christopher, Sebastian, Tristan, Julian, Stefan, Gaylord, Troy.
I went to
Justin,
school with a kid,
Gabriel,
and his last
Quincy,
name was Gaylord, and
Lucas. And
he was super fucking hot. He was on the football team, and he had like a 70s porn stash. Ooh, he was gorgeous.
Oh, you know, another common name is Jesse. Like a dog.
Aww. See, I don't believe that this is a I feel like they just took, like...
Random shit.
Yeah, like names that are usually women, female names, and then we're just like, Jesse, Terry.
It's like spaghetti on the wall when you don't got the dick you want.
Exactly.
Did you guys even realize that they were fighting over who owns or who's going to get Charles Manson's body?
I've been very upset.
Because he died.
You've been obsessed with it? I just found
out. Not obsessed.
So his grandson, I guess, he won the battle. There was a court battle because there was one guy who said, like, I'm in his will, he gave it to me, but like it was fishy the circumstances because like he was the only witness or one of the two witnesses that they needed. And then there was also somebody else who said like Charles Manson is my dad, and he may have well been, but he was also adopted by other people, so I guess that right to claim him was relinquished. And so this guy says that he's going to take his body, cremate it, and just, you know, spread the ashes so that there's not a memorial or anything or a marker for it anywhere.
Why would you want a body? Like, unless, like, you're in the weird shit, but, like, why would you fight over your grandfather's remains? Like,
well, if it was Charles Manson and you were a weirdo,
like, I understand that.
You could make money off it. You could have the remains there. You could show it to people.
Well, that's what his wife wanted, remember?
Come and see it.
Yeah. That's what his wife, he got mad about. That was.
You taxidermy Charles Manson's body and you put it in, like, Ripley's Museum mm-hmm. of Oddities and stuff, you could make a lot of money.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be legal. I don't know if you can still do that.
Not if it was in his will.
It might be a biohazard. I don't think, like, you're not allowed to.
Well, you can have a taxidermy animal.
Yeah, but you can't have just a body in your house because you who's going to taxidermy?
Lawyers who are listening, can you answer our dispute? Can human beings be taxidermied and put on display if that's their wishes?
The Body World exhibit.
Yeah, that's true.
That's scientific. I think that if you're in the scientific stuff. But I don't know. Like, I feel like if my grandfather died, I wouldn't be like. Wanting the body.
Is your dad a cult leader?
My dad or my grandfather?
Grandpa, you know, was he a cult leader?
I think so. I forget. It depends which one, my mom or my dad's side.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. It's like Charles Manson, you know, he's got that draw. He's got that allure. He killed a Hollywood starlet. So people.
He didn't.
Well, his people.
He's innocent.
You know, he was the mastermind behind it, right? But they feel like
wasn't.
He wasn't.
He didn't know anything about it. He tried to after the fact become, but no, he would. It was that Tex Watson guy. He like did so much acid that it broke his brain. Charles Manson said that he found him just like staring after a few days and was like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" He's like, "I took 17 hits of acid and I can see through time." And Charles Manson's like, "Oh, okay, well, I'm gonna try to go have sex with some teenagers," and like that was his whole thing. And he was like, "Race war is coming, everybody!" And everyone was just like hopped up and. Then, like, the race war wouldn't come, and she... Or, no, actually, it was, like, you said that you were going to become a big musician, and you already had a bunch of demos, and the record company wants to help you. And he's like, I am just a few more months. And then he would just keep doing that and just keep getting, like, new runaways and having sex with them. And then finally they went out and killed someone. And he was like, oh, good. And then he's just a criminal. He tries to just... Charles Manson...
So he didn't send them to that house to kill them?
There is a very, very, very funny movie to be made about Charles Manson. He is an extremely funny character who is a criminal who is just trying to get to the next second. Mm-hmm. And so he keeps creating bullshit upon bullshit, and it just keeps going over his head and over his head and over his head. And
like Trump.
Kind of, but Trump also knows that he's safe. Charles Manson grew up.
I don't think Trump thinks he's safe. I think he actually is shitting in his pants.
I don't believe that.
He thinks he's going to get killed by the Russians.
No, he doesn't.
You don't think so?
Never. No, he doesn't think that at all.
He thinks he's invulnerable, and that's why he acts the way he does?
Yeah, because that's his life. That's why when he like says things, he doesn't understand. That's why, like... Well, first of all, he didn't think he'd win the presidency. None of these idiots thought that. They all went on his campaign and tried to make a bunch of money off of idiots. And then he won, which is the worst thing that could possibly happen for all these people, and that's why they're going to jail now. He has lived in Trump world for a long time, so he doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand that rules apply to him because they have never applied to him because he's a rich asshole. Rich assholes, rules don't apply to you. Especially, like, horrible scumbags in the real estate market in New York. And so, like, yeah, like, all these rich assholes, like, shit doesn't apply to them, and we think... And so, but it's another thing of, like, he's rich, so he must be smart. This is all a distraction. It's not. He's just an idiot.
Jared Kushner's dad just got out of jail.
Yeah.
What was his dad in jail for?
Just all kinds of, like, illegal...
Yeah, his money stuff.
Money stuff. You know, you can steal from poor people, it's fine, but when you steal from rich people, they send your ass to jail.
That's why Martin Shkreli got 7 years in jail. It has nothing to do with the AIDS thing. Everyone was so happy, and it's like, this is not justice. Like, that... If he dies, it'll be justice, I guess. But, like, nothing else. Like, this is all just bullshit. Like, no one cares. What he did, what Martin Shkreli did by raising the HIV drug by, like, 800% or whatever, is no different from what every single pharmaceutical drug company does. Mm-hmm. And it's perfectly legal. I don't know. I honestly do not know why Martin Shkreli was picked on the way he was for what he did. Because... every single one of them does.
Because he drew attention, mass media attention, into that practice.
Yes, that is the
that
problem.
That might be one of the factors.
He wanted...
He was larger than life. He was colorful. He was weird. He was gender nonconforming. He was a sissy boy who's acting like a thug. You know? And people loved to hate him.
He was a dickhead, and that's like the only problem. If he had played the game and just wore in a suit and didn't give in or talked about how much he wanted to help people and that most of the money would go to like research and development, it would have been completely fine if he had thrown like $1 million to charity or something.
What do you think about the unprecedented connectivity that we have today, not just on social media, but especially in hookup apps, and the fact that we can sort of like meet a stranger, a person we haven't met, for sex right away? And everyone's always been saying, listen, you can go home with the wrong person at a bar and die just as much as you can go home with the wrong person from a hookup app and die. And so hookup apps are not any different, but the difference is that hookup apps give you just sheer numbers more for that happen to more likely. And so every now and then something really fucked up happens. Like if there's a crime that involves like somebody, a date that goes wrong, chances are they didn't meet at a bar. They met up on Grindr or Scruff or, Tinder or something like
Not
that.
Not Tinder.
No.
I don't think that the numbers for straight apps are not straight and lesbian apps. No, this is all just...
And that's
weird
something like a lot of those
shit.
News organizations that are funded by the gay hookup apps are not going to tell you.
Well, and, it's also like syphilis is back because of Grindr and Scruff. Like these things like came back because of that. And it's just like these hookup apps are doing this. That's what happened. The syphilis rates of gay men.
No, if there's a, I don't know if the science backs that up or not. The syphilis.
Okay,
has
then
been
a gigantic coincidence happened
but
with
you have
the
to
rise
understand,
of.
Though, people were having sex before anyway. They would go to clubs. They'd go to parks.
Really,
go
the
to
exact
bars.
Same amount of. Yeah, you're right. There was no. You're right. Gay men were not are not having more sex with random people than they were. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah. The hookup apps definitely have a factor in that, but there's other factors there, and
but the rate of HIV transmission is much lower now,
at an all-time low,
because of PrEP, because of the pre-exposure prophylaxis, because there's a lot of people on it, and just even having a small amount of the population on it, especially when they're most sexually active ones, really just slows down. It builds a wall between people who are HIV positive and don't know it, because that's usually typically how it gets spread.
It's not necessarily that the hookup apps, it's that the people obviously are using condoms less often because of the other options that they have. And then the STDs are spreading more broadly into populations that were not traditionally affected, like babies.
Ooh.
Well, so, babies shouldn't be on Grindr or Scruff. And this is something
so too.
I've always said.
Delete your baby's Grindr profile.
And part of that is just that people have less access to healthcare, and so they're not taking tested and that than
Brian,
they used to.
The hookup apps are the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's
talk a little bit about Star Trek, because we did a whole podcast this year on Star Trek.
But anyways, before we move on, I want to talk about the drag queen in Columbus, Ohio, who saved probably 85 people from getting killed.
Oh my God, what happened?
So her name's Deshae Desmond Rose, and she was chatting with another guy on whose name is Montrese Hall. I'm sorry, Meshach Israel Miller. And he was, like, sexually frustrated or angry or something, and he threatened to kill, in quotations, 85 faggots at a gay club in Columbus. So Deshae Rose, Desmond Rose, she did not waste any time, took some screenshots and called the police and arrested the guy.
Oh, God. Oh, really? And she probably tweeted, like, I got the receipts or something annoying like that.
She says, Miss Rose says, I am not a victim in this situation. I'm not a hero. I'm just a member of the community who doesn't stand for bullying or the threat of violence. And I just simply spoke up about it.
I'm also a hero.
But shit, it's like, why 85 get faggots to kill? Like, what was... The number of that,
The The bigger question is, who the hell is talking on gay hookup apps? Usually it's like, you got a hole pick, and it's like, yeah, why don't you come over here and just blow me?
People,
and it's like, okay.
Get a conversation some that is so chat. Long, and I'm just like,
that's the gayest thing of all.
I don't got time to.
Look, send a hole pick and get
podcast.
Over here.
I was getting on those apps trying to get people to give to our Kickstarters and listen to the podcast. And, you know, some of you guys who listen to the show found out about us because you liked my profile picture and you, but through curiosity, started listening to the show through that link. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people on these hookup apps that are isolated. They're not they don't have a good support network, and the only time they can talk to another gay man or a gender nonconforming person is through these apps. So, you know, in some ways they're an invaluable resource, especially if you're traveling to a new city. You know, Mark and I were in San Juan, Puerto Rico, I think it was 6 years ago.
2012,
and we just got on the apps and started chatting with people, and we got invited to parties and knew about events and shows.
And where to go
just from talking to the local gay people. Mm-hmm. And that's...
Because it is a social app in some respects, right?
And I think, like, the fact that, you know, I think Scruff does a better job at this than Grindr does in pushing for people to use this in a way that's not just for sex. Mm. And, you know, and part of it is it's kind of like an arms race. Like, those two companies are always, like, seeing who can get the lion's share of paid subscribers. But I think, you know, Scruff is light years ahead in terms of, like, giving you tools to block people who are violent, and able to sort people and also
searching capabilities
and search for interests as opposed to body types or, you know.
And what if they're fatties? Isn't that the worst?
Well, it's, you know, there's the general rule, right?
Rice queens. Not into it, now, right, guys?
Kimchi
said? No femmes, no fats, no Asians. Yeah. Is the Kimchi's number one hit.
Yeah. Do you think that this guy who wanted to kill 85 gay men, do you think he had that on there? Or what do you think?
He probably had mask for mask or something.
And was he, like, in the hole pick? Did he hole up? Now, is that an actual phrase? Do gay guys on Grindr say, like, hole up? Like, is that like, the opening? Is that, like, the new ASL?
Well, they do say, like, just come into my hole apartment. Up. My ass will be up, hole up in the air, and just, you know, give it to me. And don't look back.
So, wait, he's not even going to let him into the, like, he's just going to leave the door open? In. And his ass is just, how does he?
And this is like a thing, like a lot of our friends who are African American tell us, it's like, you can't ask a black man to come into your apartment for sex without knocking on the door. Like, that is just...
These are black vampires, though.
Well, no, it's just like, you know, someone's going to shoot you.
Come on, that was a very funny joke. I'm a black vampire. I need you to invite me in before I go in your hole. With my steak, you know what I mean.
But, you know, it's like, I think there's a certain privilege in being able to hook up anonymously for sex that some people don't have access to, just because we live in violent times that you can't, you know, there's danger out there, and it's like, and there's prejudice. And vampires.
What we're talking about when we talk about whole privilege. What we're really talking about.
Listen,
guys.
Before we wrap up, let's talk about.
Yes.
We're some real SJWs about whole privilege.
Let's talk about What the Track.
What the Track. So Ryan, we thought it would be a good idea to do a podcast with one of our favorite guests, Brian Sweeney. And Colette Gregory. On a new television show. You know, Star Trek for a long time hadn't been on television, and CBS decided to launch their all-access platform with a brand new Star Trek series. What could go wrong? And kind of, in many ways, kind of the same reason that the Star Wars prequels sucked, I would argue that this first season of Star Trek Discovery had a lot of flaws, in that it really was more about the special effects or the razzle dazzle and not stories that were driven by characters or the relationship to each other.
Speaking of razzle dazzle, you always would point out how many Broadway references were in the show.
And, you know, and that was, a lot of it was wishful thinking, and a lot of it was, you know, excited by the casting of Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz. And I think there were some really great moments in what I'm sorry, in
Star Trek Discovery.
Discovery, but, you know, Brian just fucking hated Star Trek Discovery with a vengeance.
I feel like with good reason, but you hate it with a vengeance. There are some comments that people on the website took it personally. Our website was being like, maybe you should get somebody who's a little more positive.
Oh yeah, that was about what one
about it, or somebody who was less critical of the show.
I am the prep of Star Trek Discovery critiques.
But I feel like your critiques were all valid. I feel like there was a lot of stuff on that show that it really needed more character development. It needed us to make us care more about these. They needed better story, and they needed to not stretch things out so long. You know?
Yes. Right? Not, especially black guys. They have to be invited in before they stretch you out.
Right.
That's what Anthony Rapp and Wilson
and
Cruz.
And I gotta say, there's a lot of people that wrote to, like, have written to me or commented to me and said that they really enjoyed listening to What the Trek, and especially because of you and Colette, but they don't even watch the show, which I think it's a testament to your guys' talent.
I saw that. I saw a person, like, say that, and I was like, how the hell?
A few people have told me that.
That is crazy.
Well,
like,
I think the key thing is that making sure that we talked about the ideas that the show brought up and not the details, because one thing that drives me crazy when I listen to podcasts based on television shows is that, like, if you haven't seen the episode or if you're not that into the series, it makes absolutely no sense. Mm-hmm. And I always like, maybe this is just because I went to shitty schools as a kid, but I value when a podcaster or a talk show host explains something to the audience to invite everybody to be part of the fun.
Yeah, and when I would have critical problems or whatever, I always had reasons. It wasn't just like I didn't like that, or I would say, like, the problem, the reason why this is wrong, or like this does not work, and it's not like stupid, like this doesn't make sense in canon, because I said from like day one, like, I don't care about canon, like, tell a good story. If you can make a good story, no one will care. Like, if you're able to make something worth watching, that's all that matters.
But the writers of Star Trek aren't good writers, and that's
the writers of Star Trek Discovery. You mean
Star Trek Discovery? Yeah. And that's the flaw of the series.
That is the biggest flaw, and
they're just not good writers. They don't understand that the concept of character development, story arcs, conflict, and I think turning it into a what is the terminology when the series is ongoing, serialized television, I think works against the Star Trek format.
It does, but it doesn't necessarily also have to, because while it was serialized, there was still episodes like the Harry Mudd episode where it wasn't about the season-long story. There's always the things like Buffy or Supernatural, or any of these shows that have season-long arcs, there's still the stories that are standalone episodes that don't move the plot forward, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it was kind of the investment of the fight with the battle with the
binary stars.
No, with the Klingons.
Oh, the war, the Klingon war.
It just seemed like it just resolved itself so effortlessly.
It fast-forwarded 9 months.
So quickly and effortlessly, and I'm just like, all you had to do is just give an iPad to some lady.
Four that could episodes blow up your talent of the Mirror Universe for no reason. Like, all of it was, it's a bad show. It's a bad show. The people who run the show are bad. Like, it's just, it's upsetting, like, how bad the things are. And when you go back to stuff like Star Trek The Next Generation, which is usually, like, the pinnacle of Star Trek. Like, that's what people point. Like, obviously, Star Trek The Original Series is Star Trek The Original Series. But when we talk about, like, Star Trek, we mostly...
It's what they know.
The seven... But that's also the show that sort of perfected what Star Trek stories can be and putting in people and stuff. There's a lot of episodes of just them sitting around, like, a poker table, where we get to know the characters for a little while, like just a scene of them playing their regular poker. And then they get into the story and then whatever.
Because it allows you to bond with the characters.
Yeah. And so, like, when there was the scene, like, of Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz brushing their teeth, all they really talked about was that they loved each other. And, like, it's like, well, this is a moment where you can say, like, here's why, like, this is important to us, or, like, show, like, how these people are in their day-to-day, or just how they are in general, because I don't think...
Honey,
I don't.
Did you turn off the replicator?
Yeah, and, like, fanfic of Star Trek Discovery must only be made up completely in the person writing the fanfic's head, because... The characters are nothing. Like, we don't know who these characters are. We couldn't say, like, what one character... If this situation happened to them, how would they react? Like, we wouldn't really know. And that's a huge problem for a TV show. Especially a TV show that's gone on for 15 episodes. Whatever. And, but the last episode, we also talked about Black Panther.
That's true.
And that was really,
I don't think it's going to come back again until January or something like that. Is that how long it's going
to
be? And
it's I think it's important to put energy into Project X, which is our film series, and sort of talking about failure as something that's entertaining.
More spaghetti to throw at the wall.
No, because I think, you know, and I had actually had a coworker of mine come up to me who listened to the podcast where we were talking about that. And he was really excited about the idea because he likes the idea of straight guys being forced to watch gay movies or movies that are really endearing or loved by gay men that may have been rejected or hated or flops at the box office.
Yeah, there's...
And I was even thinking about, like, the Beatles' Yellow Submarine, which is this, like... Tedious.
It is very tedious.
Weird, psychedelic, endless film that goes nowhere. And just sort of like talking about that film might be really fascinating because the film is a failure of one of the greatest rock music groups of all time.
Yeah, but they barely had anything to do. They didn't even do the voices. They show up at the very end in like a live...
They didn't do their own voices for the Yellow Submarine.
No, they hardly had... Even the soundtrack, there was just like four B-sides that they threw onto it. And
so
like,
it's people impersonating the Ringo...
Yeah, and this is while the Beatles were alive. A band. Yeah. A band, not just alive. They were in the Beatles at the time.
It
this
was made because they hated... Help so much.
No, that's
film.
Not true.
That's what I was reading. It was such a bomb and such a stinker, and they hated the process of making films and acting and being in front of the camera that they were like, we're never going to do this again.
They didn't like Help the way that they liked A Hard Day's Night because they said, but they were also, that was during their marijuana phase where they barely even remembered what Help was, they said, but they did say that, like, they liked A Hard Day's Night because that actually showed the Beatles and, like, what it's like, or the Beatles, like, being. The Beatles, but Help is a story of the Beatles being the monkeys, and that's where the monkeys got the idea from. But it's them like living in a big house, and there's a bunch of like funny gags and stuff. But it doesn't have to be the Beatles. It's
was the
Beatles.
Monkeys
like,
TV series a ripoff of the Beatles? Help?
Yes,
and not the other way around.
Yes.
Okay. So and, the Beatles never like try to like say, oh, you know, because the Rolling Stones copied a lot of the Beatles. They were like, oh, this is successful psychedelic rock. Mm-hmm. Let's put our own psychedelic rock album. And it was a mess.
Well, they tried to parody the Beatles, or they did, like, with Let It Bleed or whatever. They would always, like, parody the names of the songs. But the first Rolling Stones single that I think it's the first was I Want to Be Your Man, which was a Beatles song. Like, it was never... They were always friends, and Mick Jagger was he performed on.
He was just in the gay bar here in Chicago. Did you know that?
John Lennon's on. Yeah.
Sucking David Bowie's dick.
I have all the gay bar news sent to my phone.
He went to see Milk perform because I guess Milk's
Milk is dead.
Milk's
he got shot
boyfriend,
by
Milk's boyfriend, the drag queen, and Mick Jagger's girlfriend are best friends because they work. In the ballet together. Mm-hmm. They're both ballerinas.
This is what somebody said to me. They said to me that, and I don't know this for anything, they said that Milk was so high on coke. I don't know how they knew he was high on coke. I have no idea.
Because he's a drag queen.
Because he's a drag queen. Because
he's a gay man in a bar.
He was performing and just like being insane and fell and hurt his jaw. And they said that it was like blood was gushing out of his face.
Oh my God, really?
During his performance, yeah. So
did they call the ambulance?
I don't know what they did.
Go to the hospital?
I don't know what they did. But again, that's just what somebody said.
But is that, you know, somebody, he actually having a genuine accident and, you know, somebody like going, oh, it's because he's high, yeah, you know. And it's like, listen, you know, drag queens are going to have drinks and they're going to trip and they're going to get hurt.
Or maybe,
I mean, Shangela broke her knee, mm-hmm, death dropping, and she's a pro. Mm. So, you know, anybody who's throwing shade Milk's way is... You leave Milk alone.
It's a but like bad movies and stuff is it's hard to think of now because everything is has access to it. But there is, I feel like it is kind of a bygone. It is a bygone thing.
There always will be bad films.
There always will be, but it won't have the same type of thing where it is for freaks. Like, it's for
I know what you're saying, but let me just remind you that I remember when I was a kid, the Golden Turkey Awards, Michael Medved said the same thing, that said a film like The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes cannot be made today successfully because they tried to do a sequel of it with Sean Astin from the Addams Family.
John Astin,
the father. And it was a flop.
And George Clooney was in it.
It was tremendous. It was self aware. But
Attack of
the
Killer,
film like Showgirls was made, and that's to me just as campy and outrageous.
But
as
that's
Attack
not
of the Killer
that's
Tomatoes.
Almost 30 years old. That's not now. The problem now is The Room is The Room, but The Disaster Artist just came out, so it's like it's harder to find things because. It used to be a
wagon
thing.
Wheel, Watusi, Burlesque. I would put that is the most recent tragic train wreck that in hindsight will be seen as a fun movie.
I don't know if it will.
Because Cher's in it and she's just so weird in it, and Stanley Tucci and Christina Aguilera, and they're all can't act their way out of a paper bag for some reason.
Wait, the movie Burlesque?
Burlesque, yeah.
That movie's almost 15 years old now.
No, it's not.
It is.
Burlesque is probably from, what, 2009 or 10?
Release date was in 2010. Yeah, it's like it's only 8 years old.
Oh. Okay.
Because we didn't do this podcast. We did a whole show about it. Oh. Lady Bunny did a whole send-up of Burlesque.
I thought it was going to do a Cher parody where it was like Cher-lesque. What was it? Shop for...
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
If you're looking
Ross's
for,
shares
if you're
for
looking
less.
For wigs, and if you're looking
I
for,
forgot with the whole
buy
thing.
Buy it, share for less.
Share for less.
But it's a movie called Burlesque. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to be Burlesque. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so... It's not...
It was meant to be campy, and it was also a failure, and it was... And so I'm interested in talking about these films in the way how failure can be... A delight.
Failure can be a delight, but there is... See, there's an unspoken thing about these things, and whether, Fausto, you're probably going to argue this, because you're Fausto, but...
And you're Brian.
Yes, but, like, there's a thing of us... We are laughing at you. Like, while we're watching these, like, it's not about...
You're laughing at me, or what is that saying? Straight
movie.
People are
like,
laughing
no, no, no,
at
No, no, not
the...
straight people. Showgirls. When we watch Showgirls, we are laughing at the incompetence behind the people both on screen and behind the screen. We are not just saying, like, wow, this is great, you're great. And that's the problem also with...
There's people who really love Showgirls.
But they're wrong. And they're
so
wrong.
So you're saying Jesus Christ is wrong.
Jesus Christ, I would... Peaches Christ, first
so
of all, are we talking about Peaches Christ or as the persona, the character? Or
is there a difference?
There is a secret identity. There is the Clark Kent of Peaches Christ.
Joshua Gunnell and Peaches Christ are the same person. For let's
clarify. And you're finally going to get to meet Joshua when he comes to Chicago next month for Idol Worship with Mick Stoll.
Yes, very exciting.
I don't know if there's any tickets left, folks, but if you wanted to see Brian and Peaches ever meet.
You can volunteer to help us put chairs out.
Yeah.
But like the problem, like Showgirls, there's no way that I don't think that Peaches Christ or anyone could make an actual legitimate logical case that they without any tongue in cheek, 100%. This is why this is good. And putting like and saying this is also why the movie needs to be 3 hours long. The big problem with Showgirls is if they cut out maybe 45 minutes, an hour, it would be so much better. Showgirls pummels you, and it's hard to sit through because of, just like,
because you feel like it's pacing us too fast.
It's no, yes, the 3 hours. No, it's just it's long and doesn't need to be that long.
I feel like Showgirls is a roller coaster ride. It does not stop until it ends. Until she's, you know.
It took me a couple times to watch it before I kind of got it. At first, I was just like, this is weird.
Now,
and stupid.
The minute I saw it, I was a drag queen, had a nightclub act, and I was like, and I started dressing up immediately as Crystal Connors, and I was like, darling, you want to, you know, you want to be friends with me? You don't want to fuck with me? And my friend Karen Lewis was just like freaked out by it because she's like, she thought that the film was really disturbing and twisted, but everybody
it's also,
else was howling.
But it's also Paul Verhoeven is a director who directs things as satire, like when he makes RoboCop or Starship Troopers. So, like, him writing these things, it doesn't... Showgirls has... God, Showgirls is... Showgirls, yes, is, like, a beautiful movie because of how... It is insane to watch. Like, you, it is crazy to watch a movie and be like, how did no one say, like, what is going on? Like, how did no one stop Elizabeth Berkley from being cast?
Well, we've done a lot of podcasts with the actual actors from the film. And you can Patrick Bristow and Rena Riffle talking extensively about how the film was made. And we came this close to getting Gina Gershon on the show, but unfortunately.
And Elizabeth Berkley, she just didn't get it. And she, you know, Patrick Bristow said, like, there was a lot of times, you know, Paul Verhoeven was yelling at her, like, more, more, more. And she's just like, are you sure? And, like, you know.
So I think so not to get too into talking about the films themselves, but the idea of doing a film series where we talk about the film, pick one film, watch it again, and actually, like, talk about things we liked about it and things that we felt like were just, how could have this been made? And give the audience, because, you know, there's a million review videos on YouTube already that are looking at every film under the sun. But I think looking at these films in the context of why they failed and that failure as a source of strength is you know, how these films are redeemed in history.
But I think,
like, even you know, Yellow Submarine is a film that really inspired a whole generation of artists and gave this, like, visual language to the 1970s. I mean, God, there's so much wallpaper and pop art that was directly a result of that film. And so, you know, even this film is like a piece of shit, or Showgirls gave a rise to, I mean, Peaches Christ, where would her career be if it wasn't for the film Showgirls?
But started Midnight Mass the same year that Showgirls came out, right?
And it was, and part of the appeal of going to see Peaches Christ's show was the fact that people loved Showgirls, and here was somebody who was treating Showgirls the same way that Rocky Horror Picture Show is. And Rocky Horror Picture Show is a film that really inspired a lot of people to become drag queens. And so these train wreck films have these redeeming qualities in them that are so beautiful and powerful. I think that deserves their own episodes, their own series.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is different also because, much like Star Trek, it is less important than what grew around it. It was the house that allowed the freaks or people that are, like, weirdos to go into, and everyone was, like, having a nice time with each other. You were allowed to be a weirdo, dress as a freak, but also you all had this shared little thing of, like, this bad, weird movie with Susan Sarandon with a condom in her hair, knocked two times if you're an asshole, and all these things that you're like, yay. And that's tough.
Interactivity was a real factor.
Yeah. And, like, you got to cosplay. You got to have, like, discussions about whatever.
Gender.
But it's also, like,
sexuality.
And you also knew, like, you weren't going to be made fun of or beat up because, like, everyone was a weirdo today. Everyone's a weirdo right now. In the same way, you go to Star Trek convention, you're not worried that, like, a guy from your school is going to check out that you have a Star Trek trapper keeper or that Spock ears are not
comic
cool.
Comic book culture and sci-fi culture now is the mainstream.
No one's ostracized for that. And that's what I'm saying, why we can't have these things the same way. Like, the things of Rocky Horror Picture Show, even Plan 9 from Outer Space, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show is different.
So you're saying that we've moved beyond that ability as a society to to we don't have outsider art.
I think we do, but disaster artist shows, like, it's impossible, like, to keep a lid on it in the way of, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show or whatever, where it was, like, let's do the time warp, or, like, in the beginning there would be lips, like, shit like that. Now, like, you can go anywhere and find the talkbacks online, whereas high school kids, is from speaking from like a straight perspective,
sure,
you had to know a gay kid.
You had to learn who that knew, stuff.
And that guy was probably taught by Armie Hammer and Call Me Your Name or whatever.
He was covered in peach
or
juice.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey talks at him down.
Did
he's
you
like,
"Here's see Call Me by Your Name."
No, I'm not gonna watch that shit. I'm straight, and all I do is watch, I don't know, Fast and Furious. I don't know what straight guys watch.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, Lady Bird. I don't know what I'm watching. But yeah, so like.
Moonlight.
It's there is a, like a sort of ache, but it's also like it's tough to find anything because when you go on Twitter and say like, hey, everyone should watch this, anyone can watch it. Whereas, and I know like it is nice to think like everyone's included, but there is something to be said about allowing a person like, I think that you deserve to be part of this weird group that I'm in. So even when you used to like make mixtapes, it's like, here's a song I like. I only share this with some
people.
Well,
you can argue that even listening to this podcast requires a little bit of investigation.
And patience.
And this is not a show that's featured on the iTunes store. The only way people discover it is through word of mouth. And if you decide to become part of the Visa Fund family, it's because you've decided to enter this world that we've been creating for the past 15 years.
Yes.
You know, so it's not something that, like, it's easy to find. It's not something that it requires effort to stay part of. And, you know, if you want it to succeed, you have to financially invest yourself in it. And so, you know, being a listener of the Feast of Fun podcast is very similar as being a fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And
in the old days.
And it means a lot more when it's a small thing. Like, the kids in the hall mean way more to me than, like, anything ever, because that felt like a thing that
was a tiny show.
Yeah,
well, that's why,
and, like,
I was
other
people. We could do a review of their film, the
Brain Candy. Yeah, I saw it twice.
And that film failed in some ways.
In every way.
You know? And it was successful in other ways, too. Mm. So what we loved about Kids in the Hall and what we. And I think the three of us are very passionate about films and popular culture and gay culture in a very unique way. And I think it would be something that our audience wants to see us do. What do you guys think? Should we do a series? What should we call it?
What movies would you like us to talk about?
And I think a good thing to do would be like the final judgment or whatever for us would be like something like if we had to show like an important movie to aliens or somebody, if somebody like asks us a question, like, or even just like where in like the weirdo film review would you put this? Like when would you introduce this movie to a fellow weirdo or something like that? Like, cause I think that that's an important way to go about it is like, that's, I mean, a good like rating system.
A film like John Waters' Pink Flamingos, unlike Hairspray or even Female Trouble, is a radical film, and it's very disturbing to watch today's standards. Mm. And it pushes a lot of buttons. And I think like us reviewing it and looking at it again in 2018 would be something really extraordinary and fun to reexamine again.
Yeah, and that's another like the old thing, just like Planet Nine from Outer Space, like how hard it was to find these movies. And I remember like always hearing Planet Nine from Outer Space, worst movie ever of all time, and like you couldn't see it unless it was whatever. And I remember it finally played like on a local station here, and they like ran ads, and I think that this is around the time that Ed Wood came out. That's like a big thing. The same thing with it's these movies, these weird ass movies that you used to just hear like whispers about. And you're like, there's a movie called Glenn and Glenda, and it's about this guy who's a transvestite, and then he asks for a sweater, and it's crazy. Or like, there's a movie, Pink Flamingos, where this drag queen eats a piece of shit, and it's real shit, and like all this, and you're like, oh my god, and
that
like
really
so it
happened.
What?
No, I mean,
yeah, and you're, and you're like, oh my god, and so like, you would have to like just sit for years with this weird idea of what. Oh my god, it's like, yeah, there's this big fat drag queen, and she just starts eating shit on off the ground. You're like, oh my god, and then like you finally see it, and you're like, oh my god, and there's like so much more to it, and it's. I feel like that's a big. Part of just like finding like porno in the woods or whatever is like it's always like just being able to like find stuff that you don't expect and like making it a singular experience and feeling special because it's like, oh my god, I'm seeing this and this is weird, and then trying to find other people that might be okay with it.
And I'm a fan of, you know, Red Letter Media and other sort of film review
shows.
They did
a Pink Flamingos.
And, you know, and they sometimes go into this sort of LGBT queer area, but it's very seldom. I mean, they're mostly talking about, you know, comic book and sci-fi films. And to me, it's like treating that approach that they have to these kind of really beloved films like, you know, Can't Stop the Music, Steve Reeves, Hercules, The Boys in the Band, Myra Breckinridge, Xanadu, Showgirl, Star Booty, the film that RuPaul doesn't want you to see. Mannequin, the first and the sequel. Pink Flamingos, of course. Rhinestone with Dolly Parton and Sylvester
That's
Stallone.
It's supposedly terrible.
It's a terrible movie, but the music is amazing.
No. Sylvester Stallone sings his own songs, including a song called Drankenstein.
Dolly Parton sings a lot in the movie. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Tu Wong Fu.
So, yeah.
I mean, that film, Tu Wong Fu, is a train wreck. Mm-hmm. And it has most of the guests from Feast of Fun in that film. Misunderstood, Coco Peru, RuPaul, Lady Bunny's in it, Quentin Crisp, Patrick Swayze, and John Leguizamo, and Wesley Snipes were in drag, which was just shocking at the time.
Wait, is this Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar?
Yes.
Oh, that Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah, that
yes.
one. Well, it was definitely, we have to start working on it, so we'll have to come up with a release date for that soon.
And so I think we could do even a Kickstarter to hire like an editor to help us put together videos for it. I think that might be a lot of fun.
Are we camera ready, Brian?
Are you ready for the cameras?
I'm always.
And we just tape it in the set. We tape it in the Cooking with Drag Queens kitchen. But instead of cooking, we just sit around.
We'll just have a big bowl of popcorn.
Yeah, and just talk about these movies.
Let's do it.
Do you want to do it?
No. I refuse. My rating is far too high.
You guys, Stephen Hawking died on Pi Day.
Finally.
And it's also Albert Einstein's birthday.
Pi Day?
Pi Day.
Ha,
314,
ha.
Right?
Oh.
Pi. 3.14.
I passed away.
Who is Stephen Hawking? He's the guy in the wheelchair.
He's the guy in the wheelchair. He had ALS and he...
Speaking of hole picks...
What?
Theory of black hole.
Oh,
jeez.
What were his big theories? Is that what it was? Theory of black hole?
Showed that black holes exist.
Yeah, but you have to invite them into your because of hole privilege. That's what his whole thing, the black hole theory. He disproved Einstein. That's what he but everyone's other people came and have disproven his shit. It's fun. Like physicists, it's cool.
Your theories ain't shit.
Yeah, like,
watch this stuff.
Yeah, Newton comes, and Einstein comes, and then Hawking comes, and then
black holes
else
is his thing, though. And he was basically proving that they actually exist, that they're not just a theory, and that the whole universe might have started as a black hole in itself, a singularity. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's what made him a star, and of course, later on into his career, he did these series and books that were extraordinary in popularizing science to the masses, and much like Carl Sagan, he was a darling of the scientific world that explains things to everyday people. So, you know, his influence is felt by many, many people. He was also a guest star on Star Trek Next Generation.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
He played poker, right?
Oh, I have a Star Trek Next Generation.
But he was a simulation, right?
Yes, in Descent Part 2, the season finale of Season 6, he said he was being given a tour of the Enterprise. Enterprise D, NCC-1701-D. And he was in the engineering section, and he said, "What is that?" And they said, "Oh, that's the warp core reactor." for warp drive. And he said, I'm working on that. And then went away.
Wait, that's a real story?
That's a real story. I'm working on that. That was just a badass thing. Like, you could, if you're Stephen Hawking...
In real life.
Yeah, if you're Stephen Hawking, you're like, oh, man, I'm late. When am I going to be able to just go back in time or something? And he's like, well, I'm working on that. And then you could just motor away. And then be like, oh, Stephen Hawking. Apparently, he probably will work on that.
What is it he said about Eddie Redmayne?
He said... Eddie Redmayne. He said, yeah, this is his dying words. Do not remember me as I am, but rather as Eddie Redmayne played me in The Theory of Everything. Remember him in The Danish Girl, where he played a transgender woman, and he wore a slip. He was in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as Newt Scaramander. Here are some more facts.
Talk
about
dirty to me, Brian.
Eddie Redmayne.
Talk dirty to me.
And then he died. That was his last. Aww. His last words was about Eddie Redmayne. Has Eddie come to visit? That's what he used to always say.
Brian Sweeney can be found on Twitter as not as Brian's Dong anymore, but as the Carry Nations, the Brian Sweeney. Another film we should look into.
That should be the first one we do.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Eddie, have you seen it?
No.
Holy shit.
Roger Ebert wrote it with Russ Meyer. Eddie Redmayne was in Jupiter Ascending, speaking of
terrible
movies.
But I gotta say, though, Channing Tatum is a wolf boy. Totally fuckable.
Yum. And yummers. Channing Tatum.
Tatum.
Yeah. Magic Mike. Lick, lick, lick. He was also in Les Miserables.
Magic Mike?
Eddie Redmayne. You hear the people singing? They aren't singing for revolution. One more name.
I want to remind people we can't do this podcast.
What, Mark? Say it louder.
I want to remind people we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet,
Master
today,
of the House.
Havefun.com/plus. Or make a one-time donation at feastofun.com/donate.
No, Javert, just give me one more day. My prisoner, you are a prisoner. I will never. Yep.
The Brian Sweeney.
The Brian Sweeney.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.